Tuesdays, when schedule permits, we get a call from the Blaine House, Maine Governor Paula Page. Happy New Year to you, sir, and welcome back to our program.
Well, Happy New Year to you, and I hear that George is out, so we'll send him a Happy New Year's anyway.
I'm not sure what he did on New Year's Eve, but it's caused him to be still out today. I'm not asking any questions.
Good for you.
I'll ask a question.
Better left unasked.
Yeah. I'll ask a question of you, Governor. Did you sign the proclamation for question one, the legalization of marijuana?
If it came across my desk, I signed it.
Okay. The indication we received from Adrian Bennett is that you did sign the proclamation. I was just trying to get confirmation of that.
Yeah. Every day they put piles and piles of paper in front of me. I'm sure that everything to do with the elections that came to in front of my desk was signed.
Okay.
The issue now is, when does it go into effect? And I don't know. That's going to depend on the legislature, because as of right now, the election, according to the Secretary of State, was positive for marijuana. And there's nothing I can do until the legislature gives me money to set up the infrastructure.
And that brings us to the biennial budget. Before we get into that, could I ask you this? We did hear the call from opponents of the legalization. They want lawmakers to do, like some towns, some cities, except statewide, a moratorium. Give the state some time to cross T's, dot I's, get ready for this, similar to what Massachusetts voted on.
Yeah, I think it would be appropriate. I don't think that they realize what they've done. For instance, why do we need medical marijuana if you can buy marijuana over the counter? That concerns me. And in Colorado, what they're telling us is, don't make the mistake we did. We didn't tax medical marijuana, and we taxed recreational marijuana. So everybody in the state of Colorado went out and got a medical marijuana card. So now they're collecting just a fraction of the taxes that they thought they would. So we really need to sit down and look at this. And if we're going to tax it, let's tax it. If we're not going to tax it, then let's not even bother doing it.
The estimate from supporters of legalization, Paul McCarrier, we talked with him this morning, based on Colorado, their estimates is Maine could be making $200 million by the year 2020, and that causes you to chuckle.
My response to that, he's smoking.
Maine Governor Paula Page. We're guessing...
$200 million, we've got 1.3 million people. So 1.3 million people are going to smoke and tax us after $200 million. The guy is smoking, I'm telling you. He is out in left field. We don't make that on liquor. And liquor's been around a heck of a lot longer. So we might make $50, $51 million a year on liquor. So he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well,
he literally does not know what he's talking about.
One thing he expressed to us this morning is that I do not want to have a he said here with you. You deserve better than that, sir. This would draw more people to Maine, and there would be ancillary sales of merchandise that would accompany the legal use of marijuana. So there would be a chance to make.
Did he talk about the dramatic increase in highway deaths in Colorado?
Well, we have talked about that on our program before, and one thing I did ask him this morning, and I'll ask this of you, sir, is that is Maine law enforcement ready for the legal use of marijuana?
Not yet, because they don't have no method of measuring it. See, this is the problem. This is why I think Massachusetts is wise to take a moratorium on it and to try to, not a moratorium, but to delay it so that we can take a look at what can we do to measure it on the highways. You know, we've sent people out from the state police and people out from the Department of Agriculture out to Colorado to sit down and talk with the people there that have experienced it. And they're really, really concerned that this is a runaway train and they can't control it. And yeah, a lot of people from other states come in and they do buy recreational marijuana. But the in-state people aren't. They're smoking medical marijuana. So it's really, let's put it this way, Rick. Governing by referenda is a democracy. And if we want a democracy, let's disband the legislature.
Because we have a republic, actually, here
That's
in the
correct.
United States.
We have a representative democracy. Republic. We don't have a democracy. And we ought to decide which one we want and then go with it. Because right now, they're putting everything on the backs of the legislature. And quite frankly, I've had my differences with legislature, but it's really unfair to elect them, say, go do a job, and then you go to the referendum, you make their job so difficult that they can't do it efficiently.
So do you expect lawmakers will, and would you support the idea of a statewide moratorium?
I would support it, but quite frankly, I don't think there's much backbone across the street. I don't think that there's a whole lot of courage. Just hearing the speaker last week about education, which I think is going to destroy the economy, the speaker said the people spoke. Well, I disagree with her. The people spoke on 10 words, a question. They never spoke behind the legislation. In fact, I've asked many, many people, did you vote for it? Yes. Did you read the legislation? No. Oh, I didn't know the minimum wage in particular. I didn't know they were indexing. I didn't know what a tip credit meant, but they all voted for it. So the problem is the questions are designed to say yes, because the Secretary of State supported both the questions, so he wrote the questions. We objected to it. We tried to get him to be more reasonable, more practical, so people could understand, but he refused. And so we got what we got. And so it is what it is. And so my point is, either the legislature fixes it and does no harm to the economy, or get your tickets to go to Florida.
Maine Governor Paul DePage talking with us on the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Have you had to change the batteries in your calculator for the two-year budget that you're putting together?
I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. When I say do no harm, I will tell you, being an elderly in the state of Maine, I pity you. I pity you. I say that because I am an elderly, but I am governor, so I'm protected. You know, if I wasn't governor, I don't see how I could afford to live in Maine.
Well, how does that reflect in your two-year budget, trying to find the money to continue services?
We're trying to do everything that we can to not hurt the elderly. But it's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult because the revenues are down already. November, December revenues are down.
They are.
Yeah. And, and there's a variety of different things that could have caused it. One is there was a federal election. Two, many people are buying online now, not buying in retail, so we're not getting the revenues that way. I'm looking to see how the automobile sales were for November, December. I haven't got that specific number. I'm looking for that because those are indicators of whether or not the economy is sliding. And when the revenue's down, and people expect the same services, I am trying to push towards protecting the elderly because they have to pay income tax. They're going to get hurt with higher prices. There's no question. Already we've got milk has gone up, I think it's 3 cents the first week after the election. There's a lot of pricing that's going to start going up. It's going to be harmful to the elderly. There's 325,000 people living on $1,131 a month. That's the average income Social Security check in Maine. In January this month, they're going to get an increase of $4 to $1,135. But that's not going to make up the difference in the cost, in the increase in inflation. So I really do have a fear that people on minimum wage passed, 5,900 people are going to get an increase, but 325,000 people are going to get a decrease.
If those just making minimum are getting their increase, there's the rest of the staff at the business that are probably going to be grumbling, looking at, you know, the new kid on the block that's now making how much, and they're going to be maybe going to the boss's office saying, can I talk to you for a moment?
The whole movement was all about, was to try to put pressure on the labor market. But I think if you look at the market itself, the market is taking care of it. From the standpoint that very few people get paid minimum wage. If you go around the state, there's hiring signs all over, and you go in and they're all paying between $10 and $12. So I think that's the market's already adjusting to that. But what's happening is the added pressure onto the wages. For instance, the truck driver who says, I was making $8 above minimum wage, am I going to stay there or am I going to go to $6 above minimum wage? So that's a question. And it, like you say, it's going to be a pressure to all the employers around the state, many of whom can't afford the increase because it goes directly to the bottom line, to their profit. So they're going to make either less profit or they're going to pass it on to the people.
So you prepare a two-year budget and you send it to the legislature and then they do what they do.
Yeah, I've never had a budget that I've sent up to legislature come back. Every budget, they've added a tremendous amount of spending to it. This year, like every budget I've done, I've reduced spending, but we'll see what happens when it gets up there. Last year, the last biennial, I sent up a budget with an income tax of 5.75%. Mm-hmm. They added $300 million of spending, and they brought it back up to 7.15. I don't know what's going to happen this time. I know it's going to be less than 7.15 because I don't see how, in good conscience, that I can go to a 10.15% income tax and sleep at night.
And that's all tied to the question that passed, putting the extra tax on those making more than or combined income in a household above $200,000?
Well, what we've done is we're going to have a surcharge. There's no question. It's the law.
Yep.
The issue is, what's the base income tax going to be? So I am adding 3% surcharge. We're trying to figure out what is the base income tax that we can afford to live on.
And what do you expect lawmakers will do with that idea of adjusting the base tax?
Oh, I think they'll increase it. They'll increase it. But I can't, in good conscience, be the one to do it. Let them do it.
Are you ready for a fight?
No, I'm not going to fight. There's no fight. They just do what they got to do, and every single budget I send up, I've never been able to sign, except for the very first one, which was more symbolic than anything else. So the legislature is a spending legislature. It has been for 40 years, and I don't see any difference. I know that Representative Fredette's going to try. He tried last time, and I expect that the House is going to be, they're going to try to hold the spending down, but you need two houses, and you need the will to not do harm to the economy, and I don't see it.
Governor, do you have a New Year's resolution that you've adopted?
Yeah, I'm not going to call them names. I'm just going to call them legislature. I'm not going to pick on any individual, and quite frankly, the fight is pretty hard to fight a losing battle.